We're back in 1 Samuel again. We were going through last week into we had gone in through the 15th chapter where we looked at the trouble that Saul got into by not obeying God. And one of the things that we looked to at the end, and an area that I wasn't going to go into, but I really felt last week as I was doing some studying, the Lord wanted me to go over and look at the fact of what happened to Saul right up at the end where he's in a whole bunch of trouble because God's not talking to him. And we want to look at that, and then we'll pick up, and then we'll go over into, we're going to look eventually into David's anointing because it has a lot to do with what God did. And we're going to find out, you know, God, his mercy, sometimes, you know, people can't relate to God from the Old Testament, the New Testament. And one of the things I think we have a great problem with that is because when I think about it, as we were taught as kids, we were taught the stories and things about things, but people never really searched the scripture and compared scripture to find out how God really operated. And there's one thing, as I found in the Old Testament, the mercy that God had on people was phenomenal sometimes. And the things that he did, his long suffering on things where people did. And it's just like, you know, we thank God from the fact of living in the New Testament, what Jesus Christ did for us and that stuff. But, if these things were written for our admonition and for our learning, why would God do it if it doesn't equate to the New Testament? I mean, if it doesn't, it would be absurd. Are we just sitting down learning stories? Well, now, these aren't stories. These are principles about the kingdom of God. And we learn a lot about how God operates and how his kingdom is. And especially, we need to understand God's personality, what he's like. God can be known. I mean, it's not like reading a history book of an individual and you're looking what different people said about a person. We have the Holy Spirit in us to teach us really what the personality of God is. And he can show us things in the scripture. There's one thing I've learned is the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. He's a Amen. Phenomenal God. And we want to see him in that light of how good he is. He doesn't judge people because he don't like people. I've learned this in the Old Testament. If God hadn't done what he did and the things that he did, there would not have been a people and a generations that had brought in the Messiah. It would have never taken place. But it was all done in God's wisdom and mercy because he wanted to save man. He wanted to save you. Just think about us. We're in this place. God did what he did in the Old Testament so you and I could be saved. It was his love and mercy is what he did. And so we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at these things. Last week and I'm just going to read the closing of the 15th chapter as we go over to look at Saul because of what was said. So when Samuel was talking to Saul over the thing dealing with Agag, the king of the Amalekites that he didn't deal with. In verse 32 of the 15th chapter, it says, "Then Samuel said, bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Said, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went to his house at Geba of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel." You know, when we deal with the Lord regretted in that stuff, understand, we understand this, and we got to get the fact God created us as beings with emotions and things that he does. You know, sometimes in spirituality, people think, well, if you're really spiritual, you don't have emotion about things. Well, we find that's not like it. You look in the scripture, what happened to people when the anointing came on them. Sometimes like Saul, it says, the anointing came, when the anointing came on him, dealing with, group that wanted to come and, stand against Israel. And it said, the anger came on him. When the anointing came on him, he got angry. See, we have a hard time thinking about, the Bible tells us God gets angry. God has anger about things. We need to say his emotion is not, not allowing emotion to go uncontrolled. That's what we're doing. You know, some people think, you know, as Christians, you know, we ought to be this people that are not moved by things. Is if I had people say this, and I think there's something wrong with this, you know, well, I've never gotten angry. When I think about this, I think, well, either you're the biggest liar in town or there's something wrong with you. Because people who don't have emotion have mental disorders. They do. You have a mental disorder if you don't have emotion. You're unmoved. You ever around a person that doesn't have emotion? They ain't fun people to be around. They're not, you know, it's like, you know, it's what we do as Christians. We learn we want to control our emotions, but there's nothing wrong with having it. God made us this way. You know, it's part of what we are. And it's part of even dealing with our personalities and things. That's what makes people different among each other of doing things. People's personalities are different about things. Even if people being gifted differently will deal with things of emotion and dealing with stuff and how they deal with things. And so don't get over the things of like we're just supposed to be these real sober walking around and unemotional. I've seen people over the years, Christianity, I saw, in fact, when I first came in the kingdom in the 80s, there was people sort of moving like you were supposed to move toward that direction. And I was like, you know, you stay away from them. You don't, these people that want to put everybody over this thing and like, you know, you get real spiritual, you lose a motion of things and stuff like that. That's not normal. That's unhuman. You know, Jesus had emotion, didn't he? Made a whip, went in the temple and ran people out. I bet he went in and said, I really don't want to do this, guys, but you know, Dad's making me do it. And I'm just, you know, I'm not mad about nothing. I just have to do it, you know. So anyhow, but what it says here about, you know, he didn't see Saul after that. Well, the next time that really Saul saw him was years later. And we're going to look at this because we can learn some things about that time period and it'll help you understand things about from the scriptures. In we're going to look at 1 Samuel in the 28th chapter. We're jumping back into the 28th where it talks about Samuel dying. And then what happened with Saul? Saul was fighting as two, as understand as Saul, if you read all in between there, Saul was mostly at war all the time, either chasing David or fighting the Philistines. And the Philistines were really a sore in the side of Israel, but they stayed that way because of Saul. Saul, him not doing right, and he would take attempts to follow God, then he would be off again. He would be doing it. But we have in verse 3, it says in 28 verse 3, it says, now Samuel had died and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah and in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and spiritualists out of the land. So Saul was doing some good things. It wasn't that he was doing, you know, everything bad. But what we want to look at is this is, if you go down in 28 further, what has happened if you read before the things that happened? They're at war with the Philistines. The Philistines are against them, and the Philistines are definitely under Saul has had not a really good with fighting against him. Israel hasn't done well at all. They have lost battles. They haven't done well. And what happens here is if you read the whole thing, Saul's really, he's afraid. In verse 7 it says, then Saul said to his servant, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. So it says Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes and he went and he said two men with him and they came to the woman by night and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Now, what had happened was Saul had tried, one of the things that they did in Israel, things that we look at, if you read in between those verses that we didn't read there, it deals with Saul, God wasn't answering him through the Urim and things and through the prophet. He wasn't having dreams or anything like that where God would speak to them. That's how God basically dealt with people. He would deal with the leaders, the anointed people, either through those ways that he did, not through the normal people. He didn't do that. He didn't do that through the average person. They didn't have the anointing of God on them. They didn't have the Spirit. And so God wasn't speaking to him. And, you know, you can just say this in your life. If, you know, you're going through a tough time. It's good to be able to hear from God. Or at least get an idea. I've learned this over the years, and it's been very helpful to me, is listening to your own spirit. Sometimes I know this, that God's not saying anything because there's nothing needs to be said. You just know it on the inside of it. I remember when I was a young, very young Christian, and Kenneth Hagin said, sometimes you can go as much by what God doesn't say as by what he says. And if he's not sometimes saying anything to you about changing something or doing something, he said, just keep doing what you were doing. If he wants you to make a change or do something, then you go ahead and you do it. Well, Saul's in a little precarious situation. He's here at war. And as you look and read through scriptures, as you follow through with the kings and the different ones, if you read through like the 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then through the Chronicles, you find out God dealing many times with the kings when they would go to battle, tell them what to do. And so when they don't have this is what to do, you know, and this is very interesting because it wasn't just being great military commanders. They weren't. They had asked God what to do, and God would tell them how they were supposed to approach the battle, what they were supposed to do. And you follow, like with David. David would ask God what to do, and he'd tell him how to do the battle. Sometimes he would tell him, just go into the army. Next time he'd tell him, you know, go hide out here and wait for them and do this. He would tell them different things they were supposed to do. And so Saul's in his terrible position, and this ain't happening. God ain't speaking. So what he's going to do is he's going to go to this woman to inquire of them. Well, it says in verse 9, then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off from the mediums and the spiritualists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Said the woman, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Now you notice what he's saying. He says, bring up Samuel. See, when people died back then, they didn't go to heaven. See, even in Jesus' day, that when people were walking the earth, nobody went to heaven when they died. We have Jesus said, we saw what Jesus said about it, what they had. You'll find the Old Testament, they talk about people going down to the grave. They're talking about people going down. They didn't come up. They didn't go up to heaven. See, people get that in their minds, and you have to understand. There's a lot of things you wouldn't understand about Scripture if you don't understand these things, what they were talking about. So here we're dealing with this. So he wants Samuel called up. When Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus, he said there was he talked about the there was hell, and this God this over was this place was called Abraham's bosom, is where Lazarus was. Also, that was what is called in the Old Testament was also called paradise. It was a place, and the Bible says, where they were comforted. In other words, when they died, we're going to find out here what Samuel says. Now, we don't have any other time in Scripture where somebody was called up like this. God, you know, this is a work of God. This woman didn't call him up because we're going to find out what happens when she calls him up. She's shocked that somebody came up. She didn't expect, why? Because mediums and stuff deal with demon spirits. They don't deal with those things. When I was involved in sorcery, you dealt with spirits. We knew we did. We were dealing with demon spirits. That's what you were dealing with. And so you know about that stuff. That's what you're operating in. Most of the church world and a lot of people, they're just downright ignorant about it. They don't know about this stuff. They don't know whether it's God. People talk about you. Well, you know, we saw Uncle Harry. No, you didn't see Uncle Harry. You saw a demon. It may appear looking like that, but you didn't see Uncle Harry. It wasn't Uncle Harry. You know. And see, we knew about that side. We knew about that thing. It's demons will manifest. They can manifest in forms, you know. Bible says about the, you know, the workers for Satan said they're like an angel of light. So just because, you know, these things are happening, well, here we have this. He said, who you want? He said, he wants to bring up Samuel. Well, God won't talk to him, but it's interesting what God does here in this situation. It says, then the woman saw Samuel. She cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul saying, why have you deceived me? For you're Saul. See, all of a sudden she got a revelation who he was. Hold it. And he says, the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he saw, he ain't in heaven. Sees him coming out of the earth. And said, so he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up and he is covered with a mantle. I want you to understand this. This is what people don't, and you don't hear teaching about it. In fact, I've heard some people sort of say some things, but you notice Samuel dies, and his prophet's anointing is still on him. In the realm of the spirit, he still has the mantle of the prophet. He's a dead man. People don't realize this, but people's gifting, when they die, your gifting don't, the anointing, the calling of God in your life don't, that don't disappear. That anointing don't disappear. See, everybody goes to heaven and they think everybody is in the same category. There's people in heaven today are teaching people who taught people here on this earth. And they're teaching them under the anointing that they had here. They don't change. See, people have a lot, if they read the Bible, people would just read the Bible and quit doing nothing but reporting stories they were told when they were 12. And read the Bible. Well, it's like to me, I read these things and say, what was one first thing caught me when I read the Bible about this story? I said, this guy's coming up with, he still has the prophet's anointing on him. He died. Why? He's a spirit being. His gift is not physical. It's a spiritual gift. Things of the spirit are eternal. That's why giftings and callings don't change. Because things of the spirit don't change. See, people need to get that, understand these kind of things. Spiritual things are eternal things. That's why, you know, we talk about, you know, eternal reward. It's eternal. The reward's eternal. Either you have it or you don't. It isn't something that changed. There's things of the spirit are eternal. When you understand that and you get that within yourself, because you're a spirit being. The real you is a spirit being. Your giftings are spiritual. They are not natural from God. They're spiritual. And the anointings of God on people's lives, they're spiritual. And the God's anointing and things and what He gifts you with, those things are eternal things. And so, you know, get that in yourself. You know, as when people leave this earth, we have a lot of concepts and beliefs of people who know very little about the Scriptures have been teaching people what it's going to be like going to heaven, and it's not biblical. They just teach what people think things are going to be like. One of the best things that I've ever heard from the Spirit as a minister was asked a question. What's the difference between like going to heaven and here on the earth and how it operates and how it works? And he said, oh, it's like this. Taking one step. You get over on the other side and you're what you were when you were here. You're not something else. If you didn't know nothing spiritually here, you don't step over here. And now you know. In the Spirit, what you had here is going to what you're going to have here. It's not any different. You don't become a different person when you die. You're the same thing you were when you left. And if you didn't know nothing about God when you left, you're going to have to learn on that side because you're going to be identically the same. You're going to be spiritually the same. You're going to have to learn. I mean, I could go on and teach it Scripture and show from Scripture teaches it. But people need to understand this about ourselves. That's why from this side, what you and I are doing in this side, we're learning in this side. This is turn around what we're doing. We're in preparation for life to come. And so I just want to tell you this. You ain't going to step over to that side and you're as smart as God. That ain't happening. But we want to learn. You know, it's like anything. The more you know about a place that you go to, okay, just like, okay, Rosie is raised, say, in the Dominican Republic. Now, she knows a lot more about Dominican Republic than Ed Gibson knows. Well, she's a lot more comfortable there than I would be if I went there and knowing things. I mean, that's the way it is. I'm going to tell you what. There's people who are going to be much more comfortable than other people when they get to heaven. Because they're going to understand the realm of the Spirit, how it operates and where. They're going to be much more comfortable. They're going to know much more about it. And there's ones who are going to go over there. They got born again, and that's about it. And they're going to go over there, and man, this is a whole new world. They're going to be sitting around going, golly, ain't this something? That's about what it's going to be. That's a funny thing about it because, see, this is what people major in. Streets of gold. What the Bible says about this. Now, oh, my words, hey, that's all really neat. But do you understand spiritual? How do we function in that realm? We can learn how to function in the realm of the Spirit while we're right here operating in the Spirit, where that becomes things of norm to us stepping across on the other side. So, what we're having going on here, now, this woman was educated in the areas of demon spirits, and when she runs into things that have to do with the Spirit of God, it's a whole new ballgame. She doesn't know this one. So this guy comes out and he said, Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Why have you disturbed me? In other words, you're annoying. I'm down there and come. This is one thing you need to know about the realm of the Spirit. When people cross to the other side, they don't want to come back and visit you. All this thing that people go through, and it's because they don't understand. You step into that side, even if you're ignorant, you don't want to come back here. Who wants to come back to this grief? David understood it when his child died through Bathsheba. You know, he was seeking God and fasting and all this stuff, and the child died. He quit fasting. He quit, and he said, well, the child died. Why'd you quit fasting? He said, he's not going to come to me. He said, I have to go to him. He understood. And that child left. The child's not coming back. I'm going to have to go to him. See, you know, there's people on the other side. I have to go to them one day. See, my preparation is going that way. We're just keep trying to drag everybody back here. And they don't want to come back here. Samuel wasn't even in heaven and he didn't want to come back. See, there's things we can learn. If people would read these stories and see, you could understand some things why the way that they are. And really, from the standpoint, the way that we're taught is really, can really be strange. He said, Saul answered, said, I'm deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither prophet nor by dream. Therefore, I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. Samuel said, why then do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? You know, Saul's learning nothing new because, you know, he just thinks if you just keep coming back, he's still trying to change things that he was told were unchangeable. He still hasn't got it. You know, Saul would not have been in the mess that he's in if he would have listened, even after he made the big mistakes, but he still marched the same tune. He just will not quit. Expected something to show, I can just do something to make this change. If Samuel's going to come up, there's something going to be better. Well, it ain't going to get better. It don't get any better at all. So it says, and the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. So he said the Lord did this for himself. He did this. In other words, he put David in for himself. And we're going to find out what was said about that later on. Lauren here. But it says, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Now listen to what he says. Your sons are going to be with me. He's not going, you know, see, you think he ends up in hell. Well, this guy, because if you read through what he's done, this guy has done things. In fact, he at one time he kills off the whole high priest and all their family because he thought they were helping David. He killed the whole family off. All that were in the generation and had them all killed because he thought they were helping David. That's what he's done. But what does he say? He's not going off to hell. He's going where the rich man went. He said, you're going to be with me. So God's honoring his covenant people from a standpoint. So one thing is about so. See, Saul was in and out and in and out and up and down. He'd be with God, against God, back and forth, back and forth. Probably was never so relieved after he did die. I would think. He was probably so glad where he ended up. With him and what he was doing, I was going to say, the fear of death was sure probably there. He said, the Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Because of the direction he took, and even with Israel, Israel paid a high price for what they wanted in a king. Because they end up with the same tragedy that the king has. And so things didn't turn out well at all. But we do learn from this as God, I mean, in this whole thing. God's merciful. God's merciful to Saul. You know, when you look at the whole situation going on, it seems sort of bad, but you know, the whole thing of it is, one of the best things that happened to Israel is when Saul was removed. He wouldn't remove himself. So, he ended up getting removed. Israel's gotten all kinds of trouble. God told them in the beginning what it was going to be like with the king, what was going to happen. And he said, when you call on me, when you don't like this guy, I won't be answering you. Watch what you ask for. You might get it. You might get what you wanted. And so I always think about this story. There was a that Kenneth Hagin had told years ago. There was a young woman, and she was a very spiritual young lady, but she got with this guy, and he was not spiritual, but she loved him, and she wanted to marry him and wanted to marry him, and people told her, don't you do this. This guy, you know, is nothing but trouble. And she prayed and prayed, and she's trying to get God to go along with her on this thing. And she kept annoying God and annoying God. And finally, the Lord spoke to her and said, marry him. She said, hey, the Lord told me to do it. The Lord told me. And he did. She stayed on and stayed on. He said, go ahead, marry him. And she did. Oh, and her life ended up hell. Her life was hell. She kept wanting it and pushing and pushing. Israel pushed and wanted the king. God said, okay, have one. It's really worked out great, hasn't it? Things have really gone well. You wanted, you get it. See, people always, and I hear this, and I've heard this said so many times over the years. People say, God, well, he don't give you what you know, things, you know. He knows what you want. He'll give you what. No, you hound God about the wrong things, and he will tell you, okay, go ahead and do it. He'll get tired of you. You know, sometimes after I watch people, you know, sometimes I know, just let them go. Let them go and have their mess. Just let them go. They want to learn the hard way. Let's let them have it. Don't deal with it no more. Let them go. Sometimes that's your gut. God will do the same thing with people. Some people will not learn except the hard way. And then they don't learn. They'll just go back and do it again. And you know, you can't change that for them. You can pray night and day and do all you want for them. But people understand their authority in you. You have authority in the earth. God is going to, if you decide you don't want to do something or you want to do something, God will let you go do it because you have the authority to go do it. And just like with the children of Israel here, the guy that they made king ended up leading them into the ditch. And it didn't turn out pretty. So, let's not follow that pattern. Let's stay. You know, people end up with dumb lives doing dumb things. They're Christians and they end up, they die, they go to heaven. And that's nice. But it'd be like a lot nicer if you had a little bit of heaven while you're here. And then just have hell going on and end up in heaven. It'd be nice. That's a good thing. When you die, you end up in heaven. But it would be good making better choices and having a little bit of heaven here. There's enough things that can go wrong with you that are out of your hand without helping. don't become a problem with it. Don't join in to whatever's going on. Now, back in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, we're going to go into the thing here because God set what he wanted to do then dealing, and we want to look with David because this is going to be looking into David and also dealing with Saul as Saul was king. We have here in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, in verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I'm provided myself a king among his sons. Do you notice he said, he didn't say I'm provided a king for Israel. He said, I've provided a king for myself. See, Israel wanted a king and he gave them one. Now this is his king. He said, I'm providing a king for myself. And so it says, and Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. See, just think about Samuel standing in his office. He knows Saul has no respect for things going on. Saul has no respect for, he'd kill me. He said, and the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. It says, then the Then he said, invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. He said, so Samuel did what the Lord had said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, you come peaceably. See, there's a great respect concerning the prophet, because the prophet could bring bring the blessing of God, or he could bring judgment. You know, he could come and dealing with things. But you don't understand these people had a respect for that gift. Saul didn't. A whole different, big difference going on. These people understand that God uses the power of God, that God uses this man. But Saul was like, Samuel knows this. Hey, don't matter if I'm following God, he'll kill me if he don't like what goes on. So, anyhow, and he said, peaceably I have come to do sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So, really, we look at the thing here is taking place. God is making a choice for himself. This is what he wants. And so, thank God he did some picking here. But we're going to find out and understand this as this goes on, that is completely there's something completely different here than when Saul became king, is what God does. So it says in 1 Samuel, in the 16th chapter, verse 6, says, so it was when they came that he looked at Eli, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as men see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. This is one thing is to understand about God and his operation towards you. God is a spirit. God communes and deals with you as a spirit. The Bible tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God deals with us through our spirit. God looks at us from us spiritually. You know, some people's spiritual condition are better than what they are acting the outside. Sometimes people are. But God deals with us. One of the encounters that I had with that was a young Christian, because I got over and I made some mistakes and things that, well, you know, from natural standpoint. And you start, one of the things you do is you start judging yourself as if you should, I'm looking, you know, myself as, judging myself as if I'm a lot more spiritual than I am. You start judging yourself, and that happens to people when they're young. When you're young, you sort of look at like, you measure yourself against people who are much more spiritual. And that's what I was doing. And one of the things that the Lord dealt with me with is he spoke to me, and at first I didn't think it was God speaking. I thought the devil was trying to trick me. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you're perfect toward me. And I thought, well, now how in the earth? I ain't perfect at nothing. But see, now you understand, people do this all the time, Christian. They judge themselves, their perfection, by outward what they do. Well, see, you'll never be much of a faith person doing that. You'll never develop in that area. Why? Because God is judging the heart. He's not judging. See, remember when God gave Israel the king that they wanted, he was the big, good-looking guy. So what does Samuel think? Hey, the big looking, good looking guy's here. This is the one he's going to pick. No, God's saying, I'm picking this. I'm picking the guy. I'm picking the guy by his heart. I don't judge by outward appearance. I'm not judging by that. I'm judging by what a person's heart like. See, and the Lord spoke to me, and he did it three times. He said to me, you're perfect toward me. And then he said this to me. He said, you love me with all your heart. And that's the first time I really looked at myself spiritually, and I thought, he's exactly right, I do. I love him with all my heart. See, my heart was totally for God. I wasn't against God. I was upset about my messing up because my heart was toward God. And then he quoted this to me from this scripture. He quoted this scripture. He said, quit judging yourself by the flesh. He said, I don't judge you like that. Oh my God, that's how religion teaches you. To judge yourself by the flesh. That's how they tell you. That's how everybody judges everything. Because people don't know themselves spiritually. They don't know what they're really like. From the time that a person's born again, their heart belongs to God. They accept you. They get born again. Their desires toward God, they might not know how to act out, you know, things in the flesh. They may not know much and know things. But see, they're not acting what their heart is really like. People don't get, if we got to heaven based on what we do, just what we do in the flesh, we'll all end up in hell. We all blew it. Well, there's no perfection from the flesh standpoint. If there was any perfection from the flesh, what on earth would God be giving us a new body for? Because there is no perfection. It has to, we got to get a new one. If we don't get the new one, you can't take it, drag this thing to heaven. You know, this thing we got here, you know, God ain't taking this thing to heaven. And so we need to get ourselves over and understand this principle. Is God saying here, God's judging, God's picking himself what this person is like from the heart. And he looks and he says, this guy, he's not the dude. He's not the one. And understand these things about yourself. How do you think God judges you? How does he deal with you? And lots of people, you know, people do things in their life that they ended up in messes and that kind of stuff, and they do it. They end up reaping what they sow. It's not God trying to do anything to anybody. It's how spiritual law operates. But the whole thing is people throw it right over God. It's like, God's doing this. No, he's not. We're doing this thing. As well, you know, and it comes from the things of God's in control. And we'll talk about it. You know, this is basic operation that we have here. So it says, so Jesse said, called Abinadab and made him pass before Saul. And Saul said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass for Samuel. Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all your young men here? Then he said, oh, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. He says, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And here's a picture. Here's man. This is culture. God ain't going to choose that little idiot at the bottom, because he's too young to be king. Now, you understand this. If you follow studies on this stuff, David could have been from anywhere from 10 to 15 years old at the time. Anywhere within probably that range. David wasn't some, he was still a kid. In fact, the adjectives and things that describe him are things that used toward him being a youth. He was literally, he would have been, you know, a kid somewhere in between that age. That's what he would have been. And so, you know, he's calling one up here who's going to anoint somebody. Well, he's not going to, because, you know, the kid on the bottom of the totem pole, he's the last in line of inheritance. If God's going to choose anything, our culture's most important, because God's going to choose who we have set up in our culture, who you choose. God didn't. Why? God's choosing by what's a person's spiritual condition and not by their physical condition. He chooses by their spiritual condition. So he looks, there's this young kid. Now they told him to bring his sons. Can you imagine? They left. This is what they thought of him. Didn't bother bringing him up. The prophet says, bring him up. This guy they're scared of. And they don't, well, you're going to choose that little idiot. You know, hey, you know, my words, you know, God's following our culture, our beliefs. You know that for sure. God's following how we think, and he ain't going to pick that kid. Dear Lord, what's he going to do? Yeah. So, thank God he didn't operate in the same manner. So it says, Samuel, you know, Samuel said to Jesse, so bring him up, for we will not sit down till he comes here. See, by this time, Samuel is probably pretty well figured out. The one that's coming is the guy. The one that man does not choose. See, God had to choose this guy. Man could not. Man's culture would not permit them to do so. And they were so full of their cultures, why they're in the messes they're in. There's nothing a matter with culture. But don't ever think that everything in your culture is God and God's going along with it. You know, that's why he's reading the scripture. When I think about, you know, when I look at back as a kid being raised, and I look at things in the scripture, and I think, boy, all that they told, those are stuff they told us about God, it wouldn't sell. That's how God operated. But they followed it and did it, and they believed and did. Thank God. There's one thing about it. They love God. They want, you know, they wanted to follow him. And they followed him according to their culture, the best that they understood in their culture. And it's trying to break away from those things sometimes. Hallelujah. Seeing what God will do. Well, it said, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes. And he was good looking. And it said, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. This is the guy. I'll tell you what, I can just imagine what the rest of the family's thinking about this. Now we know this as you go on. His older brother don't like him at all. He don't like this. You know. See, he's the old, he's in first line of inheritance in the family. His dad dies, he runs the family, he gets everything. His brothers get very little. Anybody down the line, David's on the end of the line, he's the guy with nothing. It all goes up. And here God picks this guy. Best thing to learn to do is like the guy God picks. It's the best thing in life to do. Yeah, hey, God chose it. Hey, he has his thing in it. And I found this out. If you want to go anywhere, you better learn to like the person God picked. Or you won't go anywhere. You have to learn to do that. God doesn't pick by personalities. Like there's a saying, and it's really true. God will give you somebody in a package you don't like. And it's exactly what you need for your answer. Oh, my. But this is part of becoming. That's why you want to become spiritual. You want to understand spiritual things and how they operate, because you will have a lot less frustration. Hallelujah. He said, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Now, this is different than Saul. The anointing didn't come on Saul right away. Remember, Saul went through his thing and went till he went up to the prophets and stuff, and then the anointing come on him. Here, the anointing. Now, just think about David. Now, I want you to think about this. David does not become king till he's 30 years old. Totally different Saul. There's one thing that happens here. David has the anointing to be king, but he does not stand in the office of king. This is one thing that I learned. Doesn't matter what you're called to do and the anointing you have. You may not be set in the office right away. I was called to teach. I had a teaching gift, was not set in office until some years later. You see, everybody gets this thing, well, God, you know, anointed me. David could have said to him, well, you know, what's wrong? This is stuff. I'm supposed to be king. What is? No, he didn't get to be king. Wasn't 30 years old till he became king over Israel. And he had this whole time in between where God was proving him out. David became a king before he was made king. It isn't just proving it out. See, when David became king, everybody knew he should have been a king. And Saul, they just got him. They got him the way he was. David now has years of experience in doing the right things to be king. See, God did something wonderful here with this. See, we like things fast today in America. Hurry up and do this. You know, does God do this? God. No, I'm telling you, there's times of proving and all kinds of stuff that you need to go through to step into what God's called you to. Are you willing to take the years? David took the years to enter. You know, everybody today, you know, we get there right away. You know, I got to get this people's thinking. Don't happen that way. God doesn't operate like that. Man does. And so man pushes people into offices. They push them into things. They see somebody a little talented. They shove them into something. That's the things that they did. I was involved in the full gospel businessmen, and I saw that happen. What would they would do? You get God, somebody come along, God would save and change your life some. They would start promoting that person, and they'd start sending them meetings to speak and that stuff. The person wasn't spiritual enough to be put out. The Bible tells you don't put a novice out in front. You don't do that. It says New Testament, you don't do it. You don't put a novice out there. We look at something, oh yeah, well God will use this person. God may be using them, but you have to have the wisdom to know. You don't stick a novice out in front, you'll ruin them. And what happens? The devil gets on. Time after time, I saw them, after over years, that person's not walking with God. They get themselves a big head, they pushed them out there and did that. After a while, they're spiritually immature, but they have been told, like, you're the next best thing to slice bread. And now, they're listening to nobody, they're listening to nobody spiritual, and people do it to them. They ruin people's lives. And people do that because they think to their own advantage. Well, hey, we can make full gospel businessman a bigger thing if we do this stuff. This person, you know, all they're doing is looking to use that person for what they want. That's what they're doing. You don't put somebody in a spot just because you got a spot open. You're better off having spots open and nobody to fill them than fill them with people you wish you would have never got in that spot, because once they're in, you may never get them out. And then you're stuck with it and you deserve to be tortured. Live with it, you did it. Oh, this is all I've ever heard in ministry. Well, we got to fill these spots. We got to get there. We need a person for this. We never. No, you don't need nobody. You don't have the right person. You don't need anybody. No, the ministry's better off shutting down than putting people in that shouldn't be there. Because when it's said and done, you're going to be sorry you ever did this thing, because it's going to get ugly. It's going to be on a road doing everything except God wanted to do it. And that's what happened to Full Gospel Businessmen. They turned it into what God had a vision given to Shirkanian. And by the time I left Full Gospel, they weren't even following the vision at all. They were doing the things, and today the ministry's gone. They did it. God had a vision for it. But man took it over, decided how they were going to do it. Because, see, God's vision was very simple, and you only do certain few things. No, they're like most ministries. You go out here and they do it. They start out, well, you know, if some money comes in, now we're going to start doing this ministry. And God didn't call you to do it, but we're going to start doing this. We're going to start doing that. We're going to do all these things. We're going to start doing all this stuff. And God didn't call them to do none of it. See, so I've watched this with churches. You know, everybody has to have the duplicate ministries. You know, everybody has to feed the poor. Why don't you find the one God called to feed the poor? And if you want to put something in the poor, give to them to take care of the poor. God anointed them. You don't have to run around and do everybody. Oh, that's it. So we're out here throwing our money. You know, the church, at least half the money that the body of Christ brings in is thrown down the toilet. It has nothing to do with God or serving God. It has people duplicating because, see, I want people to think that I'm running a big ministry here. And I don't care. I don't care. That's not what this is about. Just follow. If God gave you a little piece to do, just do the little piece. Just have that and be happy with it. Hey, you're in the will of God. You're going to have reward. You don't have to do everything people want you to do. You know, people come along, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. I always tell them, say, okay, you start doing, you're in charge. Oh, no, that's not how we want it. No, I have the vision, you do it. Say, no, you do it. See, because everybody has wonderful ideas. But if God's not called, we'll find out. Just tell people, start doing it. We'll see how much God's in this thing. Oh, well, I don't have the time. Me either. See, people get pushy, you know. People lose the joy of serving God. Because, you know, America is, you always got to do 50 things, and then you're really productive. You're productive if you can do 50 things. You can only do one, you're the jerk. You're not really worth it having around. These people doing 50 things, they never do any of them good. They don't know them. They're around trying to get everybody else to carry their load. And just hallelujah. And then they're always this. They never have enough money. They never have enough money. They're always going, you got to give me more money to do. God called me to do this, and if you don't give me my money, you're fighting against God. So you people... Yeah, you're responsible. I've heard ministers basically tell people they're responsible if things don't work. They don't. I'm just one of those guys stop and say, God didn't tell me. Good luck, bud. We'll see you. I don't care what God told you. It's what he told me. He might have told you to do it, but he didn't tell me to do it. So, oh, hallelujah. Making things easy. But I want you to understand this. You can understand what happens to David. David didn't go fight Goliath because he was a tough kid. He was anointed to do it. Why weren't the other men doing it? They weren't anointed to do it. They always make out the stories like, oh, everybody's about this cool kid went and did it. Boy, he was really... He's anointed by God to do it. The anointing came on him for that time. He has become what he is from now on because of the anointing on his life. Not because he's special from the standpoint he's just this tough kid. See, we look at all this in the natural, like David and fighting Goliath and how that battle turned out. You know what? You know who gets the glory out of that battle? The church preaches David. That's all they do is preach David. David killed Goliath. God killed Goliath. David understood it. David understood that he did what he did. It was God working him. The church, oh, they just blow David's horn. Look at glory to David. David did what he did by the anointing on him. He was moved by the anointing on him to do what he did. He wasn't this great, courageous guy. Can you imagine there was only one? He was this one single guy out of all of Israel that was tough, and the rest of them are all scumbags. See, we need to change a few things. This is why when you read and see what God does with people, if you identify it as the person, you'll always be a weak Christian. See, God is His anointing on you. He'll anoint you to be able to do things. You know, when I found when God anointed me to teach, I teach because of the anointing. I don't teach. I see things in the Bible because of the anointing on me. God reveals things to me. It's God's working. If that anointing goes, it's Ed. I got to read the Bible. Just Ed reading the Bible. See, the anointing in your life, you have the Holy Spirit, and He's your teacher. You need to go to the Bible like you have an anointing from God to understand that thing. He said, well, we're reading through the Bible every year. Why don't you go open and talk to the Holy Spirit and go to the Bible sometime and find out the place you're supposed to read? I have nothing against reading through the Bible, but I'll tell you what, I find most people read through the Bible all the time and still don't know a thing about it. You have the Holy Ghost in you. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know. Hallelujah. Get that in yourself. Yield to that. Sit down and look at it. Say, praise God. God's working in me. You know, like David said, that uncircumcised Philistine over there, he knew that guy's uncircumcised. God's working with me. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. God don't work with him. See, you need to sit down when I read this Bible. God's given all this stuff to me. Do you think He's hiding things from it? God wants me to know this thing so much that He put His Spirit in me to teach it to me. I have an anointing in me to learn this thing supernaturally, to be able to see and understand things from this book. Now, I may have anointing the teacher, but I don't have anointing to know more than anybody else does. Hallelujah. So get that in you. You have an anointing from God. Hallelujah. Get your sling out. You know, that's what you do. Hallelujah. So, I mean, it would really be best if we just really walked more in the light of these areas and these things concerning what the Word of God says. I'm going to hold up here in this because we're going to, next weekend, because we're going to look at this is dealing with a thing that's said in Scripture and then follow it out. This is one thing is why you compare Scripture with Scripture, because it changes the story. It's one thing as I've learned, one of the things of the Bible. They teach you this in Bible school, but I knew about it even beforehand. It's one of the things is you're going to look at Scripture, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Just because the Bible says one thing here, sometimes you just don't take it. You don't build a doctrine of anything off of because the Bible says something once somewhere. If it's a doctrinal truth, it'll be through the Bible. You'll find it. You'll begin to see things. But we do that, and that's one thing is I've learned this over the years of looking at the stories that we were told in the Bible as kings, and lots of these things I've studied. And I sit down and look through them, and I said, man, these stories were a lot better than they told us, and we get to see how God works, and they never taught us how God works in these things. They were always people, and then I would hear Christians say, well, I wish I'd have lived back then. Say, man, you're a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian, and you want to live back in Dumbsville. But see why? See, that was all the heroes. Those were great people. And they don't realize they had less than we do. What they did by God. But see, we glorified the people. We made them big. And we said, well, how can we stand up to these superheroes? They weren't superheroes. God anointed a bunch of dummies just like He does today. He anoints people like me. Instead, to me, that is the most... I've all the time think, God, what on earth were you thinking when you anointed me to teach? What were you thinking? See, God don't view like men view. But God takes people... You know, everybody today, see, America is all about talent. That's America and people's talents. God don't pick people. God didn't pick people because of talents. David wasn't naturally a king and a soldier. And it wasn't a natural thing. Just like with Saul. It was no natural thing. Just Saul didn't even want to head in that direction. You know, Saul seemed to be happy out, you know, with the herd. God don't choose like man chooses. He doesn't look at your talents. God looks at putting an anointing on you to do his will. That's the way he looks. He put an anointing on you. He'll anoint you to do things. Then you can sit down and stop me and say, you know what? It's got to be God. It's like me. I think it's got to be God because I couldn't do that. I can't do that. It's got to be God. I mean, God speaks to me about things and talks to me about stuff. And I think about it, think, dear Lord, isn't this the strangest thing? God wanting to talk to me and show me stuff. I mean, it's got to be God. God's working this thing. God's doing these things. See, we got to get out. We've taken the Bible. We've glorified the Apostle Paul and made him, you know, right there, him and Jesus. He's right there with Jesus. No, he's not. I hear people talk about what Apostle Paul said. No, I'm saying this is God talking. Get this. Apostle Paul was repeating something God told him. Apostle Paul was teaching what God taught him. He would not have known things that he known had it not been for God. Look at the man and look at him. I mean, he constantly glorified Jesus. But for some reason, we glorify men. Now, let's glorify God. If these people knew anything, they're just like you. They're no different. See, you make yourself into something less and you destroy your own faith. You look at they're special. Now, I'm going to tell you what, anybody that's born again, my God, you're in a position for God to use you. You're in a place that God could call you. You know, God might anoint you sometime to just do something one time. You'll never do it again in your life. It's like he did with me. I don't know if he'll ever do it again. Gave me the anointing to be in the evangelistic anointing. I don't know if it'll ever happen again. I mean, it was a fun time when it happened, but it's like it never. But he anointed me just for that time. Well, see, he could do that. I'm not special. I just believe this. I was just the guy who was available at the time would yield to the anointing. They didn't have an evangelist, and I was just the guy who would yield to the anointing to go do it. I think that's the only reason it happened. But the only reason I did that is because what he taught me before about yielding to the Spirit and yielding to things. But if he hadn't taught me that, I wouldn't have to do. I'd have followed after what men said. I've been told all this stuff. You know, you're sort of called. You're called to this one thing, and that's what you are, and you just live in this box. It's like gifts of the Spirit. I was taught all the gifts of the Spirit, they operate, and you have this one gift, and you have this other certain gift, and you have this. God has used me for more gifts at more different times and different things over the years, and I found this out. It ain't like they say. And I read the Scriptures, and it ain't like they say in the Scripture. They say the Scripture said it don't say that. He divides it severally as he wills. And however he wills to use you, he can use you one way today and all of a sudden tomorrow he can use you to do a miracle. Never maybe do it ever again, but just that one day he uses you because you're the right place, the right time, the right person. Bang. And he does it. See, we got to get all this stuff out of our minds. Say, man, hey, it's God. God, use us. Hallelujah. See, people don't want to be used. Oh, it comes to God, use me. I'll tell you, wear me out. I don't know. Hallelujah. Just do something. But don't see yourself and don't minimize yourself. Everybody's trying to get everybody into a category. You know, there's some areas that you might have from a standpoint of category, certain ways that God uses you. But that don't mean you're stuck at that place. You know, if I never do no more than I am, I don't care. That's fine by me. I'll just do it. But you know, I'm at the place where God, if he wants to use me for something more, I'm going to yield to it and do it. And he can. And you keep yourself open to his ability to use you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And, you know, keep yourself always in faith in that direction. Don't let people ever minimize you in the areas, you know, because they'll turn around and say, well, you know, you aren't gifted or like you didn't go to school or you weren't. Who cares? My God, more idiots have come out of Bible schools than you can shake a stick at. I'm serious. There are. Hallelujah. And I've watched men that went through Bible schools, did a great job. I see people who didn't. God used phenomenally. And so, hey, it's God. And when he comes down, let's give him the glory for it. Let's magnify him. Thank God that we can look at how God uses people. One of the things that you want to do as you look into Scriptures, how God uses people, is so you can understand and it can help you is seeing how God uses people. When you see a ministry in operation, you can understand some things by the person doing what they're doing. See, the Lord years ago told me, I went to camp meeting, and the Lord said to me, at that camp meeting, Oral Roberts was going to be there speaking, and his brother Hagin was Oral Roberts, it was T.L. Osborne, some different ones. And the Lord said to me when I go, he said, I want you to pay close attention to them, what they do when the anointing's on them. Pay close attention. And nobody ever told me that. In fact, when I was at Rhema, I never heard them even talk to us about that. But the Lord said to me, watch what they do and how they respond to the anointing. He said, you'll learn some things about me. And I've learned how from that meeting how to yield to the anointing on certain things that they did. Certain things is watching them operate under the anointing. And I started, oh, what they do. Because, you know, I found this out. Sometimes people don't do things when the anointing's on them because they don't know what to do under it. They have never been taught or trained how to respond to the anointing. They don't know. I had a pastor who God tried to use him in gifts of healing, and God could never do it through him because he would never yield to the anointing. The anointing would come on him. He'd know the anointing's there, but he never responded to it. He just thought if he got anointing, it would just take you over and you'd do something. That ain't the way it works. You have to learn how to respond to that anointing when it comes and what to do. And so I watched them and I watched what they did when the anointing came. And I thought, my words, huh, that's really helpful to know what to do when it comes. What you start doing. And so watching those things, that's why, you know, people in ministry, it's not just all what people say. You can watch and learn something. You can take a hold of some things by faith. Glory to God. It'll bless your life. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just want to thank you tonight. Thank you for wisdom and understanding. Thank you, Lord God. You're so great. You're phenomenal, incredible. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you. Lord God, when we look through the book and even looking at our own lives, we're what we are because of you. If there's anything good coming out of us, it wasn't because of us, for sure. Hallelujah. With your goodness and mercy, you redeemed us, you saved us, and set us apart. I want to thank you for giving the example to these people because they were people just like us. Hallelujah. Your hand was upon them and you used them and they did things, Lord God, that were great and phenomenal, but because they weren't great and phenomenal, you were. Hallelujah. Lord God, you kindly make us look good sometimes. And I want to say thank you. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we do things that are dumb, Lord, that make us look pretty stupid. But you don't quit on us because we do stuff. Hallelujah. Lord God, your plan is still to use us. And I want to just say thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. But Lord God, you want to use each one of us in a supernatural way outside of our own abilities and wisdom. We thank you for all the wisdom we have and all the our natural abilities in life. I thank you for them. But hallelujah, Lord God, I want more than just what I can do. I want something greater than just what I can do. And hallelujah, I thank you. That's what your anointing is about. People doing what people could never do themselves. Hallelujah. Bringing glory and honor to you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ. So I thank you, Father. You're going to do wonderful and marvelous things through us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.